thank you for that.
Amen.
Would you turn with me, Revelation chapter number 22? Revelation 22. That's what we've been learning about the past few weeks, ain't it? What a day it'll be. Revelation chapter number 22, I want to begin reading in verse number 10 tonight. Revelation 22 and verse 10, and if you would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Revelation 22 and verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want to just teach and preach tonight on the conclusion of Revelation. You can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house. Lord, I thank you for your people that have gathered here tonight. God, I pray that you'd bless them for the efforts they've made to be here. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our time in your word tonight. God, I pray that you'd give us clarity. God, I pray that you'd fill our hearts with joy as we read the promises of your word if we're saved. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep the book open as you've told us. God, give us good wisdom to expound it. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just look tonight simply at the conclusion of Revelation. Tonight, as you can tell, we are concluding the conclusion of the concluding book of the Bible tonight. All right? We're in the conclusion of the conclusion of the conclusion of the Bible. And so we are tonight in the last, we are looking at the very last remarks. We are looking at the very last warnings. And we are looking at the very last invitations that God gave to us before he laid down his eternal pen and closed out the canon of sacred scripture. Remember, tonight what we're reading, this is the last things that God had to say. The very last warnings he had to give, the very last invitations he had to extend. And after verse 21 of this chapter, God laid down his pen and never has he wrote another word, a page of scripture. This completed everything that God has ever had to say to humanity inside the Word of God. So this is a very, these are very significant words tonight. These are very sombering words tonight. And if I were to be very honest with you, I find it very hard to preach and to expound upon these verses because of how straightforward they are and how well put, how straightforward and how simple they are from the mouth of God. Really, these verses, there's not a lot of explaining that's really needed for these verses. This is one of those passages. God closes out the Bible, and there's no need to explain what he says. The words that he says here only need our complete and total obedience. There are some things that God says that don't need any explaining, they need obeying. And this is one of those texts. It's just hard for me personally to preach from this text because really God just preaches the sermon here, and what he says is what we understand and what we need to obey tonight. So you forgive me if we're a little bit different tonight, but I just want to make sure more than anything that what he has said here, we understand and we obey, that we see the importance that we obey these things in chapter number 22. I want you to think about very briefly what all we've read and studied in Revelation. We've looked in Revelation chapter number 1. We've seen in chapter 1, verse 1, the purpose of this entire book. It was to reveal Jesus Christ. You remember Revelation 1 and verse 1? This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you remember in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the aim of the book was the return of Jesus Christ. And we saw that in chapter 19. If you remember in Revelation 1 verse 19, we saw the great outline of this book. Do you remember the outline? I know it's been a while since we've reviewed, and I figured since this is our last night, we ought to review just a little bit. The outline of this book, he said, I want you to write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is the outline of the book, remember? What did John saw? What did he see? Verse in chapter 1, he saw a vision of Christ. That was chapter 1, things which thou hast seen. Chapters 2 and 3, he said, I want you to write the things which are. And he wrote in chapters 2 and 3 to the seven churches. What do the seven churches of Revelation represent? They represent the church age. What do they represent? The church age. We are living now in Revelation 2 and 3, history-wise, the things which are. And then in chapter 4, he said, after these things, he was taken up to heaven. From chapter 4 all the way to the end of the book are things which shall be what? Hereafter. Chapter 4 and onward is future. In chapter 4 and 5, John sees heaven. Chapter 4 and 5, John sees the throne of God. He sees the seven seal book, and he sees the Lamb of God. And in chapter 6, the tribulation begins. Chapter 6 is when the tribulation begins. And from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19, we studied about the tribulation. But what great event ends the tribulation? What will put the tribulation to a close? That is the event of the second coming of Jesus Christ. What is the great event of chapter 19? The second coming. Thank you. We find in chapter 19 the second coming, and then after chapter 19, it just gets gooder and gooder from there. Chapter 19, the Lord comes back. In chapter 20, he reigns for 1,000 wonderful years, the millennial reign. After this is the great white throne judgment, the final judgment. And then after this, God is going to make all things new. Chapter 21, there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, and there'll be a new Jerusalem. And we learned about that all the way into chapter 22 in verse number 5. Chapter 22 is in two parts. In verse 1 through 5, we find God's final comments about heaven. And then in verse 6 through 21, we find God's final conclusion to the Word of God. We find in chapter 22, verse 1 through 5, he gave John the interior see-through of heaven. He showed him, he gave him a walkthrough of heaven. In chapter 22, verse 1 through 5, he saw a pure river in heaven. He saw a tree of life in heaven. He saw the throne of God in heaven. He saw the Lamb of God in heaven. And he saw the light, the glorious light of Christ in heaven. In verse number 6, the angel begins God's final remarks. Really, God's remarks started in verse 6, and we preached on that last week, and he was interrupted by John's blunder when he tried to worship the angel, and the angel told him no. If you remember in verse 6 and 7, the angel made a promise of God's timing. He said the time's at hand. He made a promise about God's coming. He said, behold, I come quickly, and he made a promise about God's blessing. He said that blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So now in verse 10, there was a brief interruption, but really we're leaving off right where we left. I mean, he just picks up and he continues these comments. In verse number 10, I'm just going to read these tonight. We're going to go down through them and give you a few things and we'll be done. In verse 10, he said, the angel and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. I want you to notice tonight some simple things. Like I said, they don't need any explaining. They really just need our obedience. Number one, God wants us to know. One of the last thing, the things that God wants to tell us in his book is, number one, keep the book open. He said, I'm wrapping up my revelation to you, John. He said, I'm wrapping up the visions. I'm wrapping up the prophecy. And as I'm concluding this, I want you to seal not the book, the prophecy of the sayings of this book. I want you to keep it open. I want you to tell everybody because the time is at hand. You say, what's so special about this? Did you know that God had not always instructed his prophets to do this? This is special because God hadn't always told them to keep the book open. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Daniel and chapter 12. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. It's after the largest book of your Bible is Psalms. You can turn after that. You'll find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. If you'll remember, we've talked about Daniel some in our study of Revelation. Daniel, the book of Daniel, is equivalent to the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel is to the Old Testament as the book of Revelation is to the New Testament. The book of Daniel looks at the end times, and the book of Revelation looks at the end times. Now, John got to see some things that Daniel didn't get to see. Daniel got to see some things that John didn't get to see. But when you put them together, you have an even more complete picture of end times. But I want you to look at what God told Daniel. Daniel 12, look in verse 9. At the end of Daniel's vision, he saw some mighty amazing things about the end times. But look in verse 8. He said, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Notice verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel got to see a lot of things that John saw. He got to actually see some prophecies about Christ. He actually saw prophecies about the second coming. But he didn't understand what these things meant because he didn't know about Christ. And in his time, God said, you are not to seal, to tell everybody, you're to seal up the prophecy of this book because it's not the time of the end yet. It's not time to publish these things. But when God completed his revelation to John, he didn't tell him to close up the book. He said, I want you to open the book, seal it not, and tell everybody. You know what that means? He told Daniel, it will be sealed until when? The time of the end. Guess what? That means when John finished Revelation 2,000 years ago, guess what? It was the time of the end. Friend, I think God's trying to tell us in the last chapter of the Bible that we ought not to close the book. It's not time to close the book. It's not time to seal it up. It is time to open the book and study the book and read the book and tell others about Christ because we are living in the time of the end. People say all the time, is this going to be the end of time? Friend, I don't know when the end of time is, but I know that we're in the time of the end. The end of time could be any time. Daniel didn't understand the prophecies of this book, but we can understand because we know Christ and we can see through the completed Word of God what Christ is going to do, that eternity is going to be ushered in. This is not time to close the book. It's time to keep it open and to tell others about the book. You say, Revis, John wrote this 2,000 years ago. You're telling me we've been in the time of the end for 2,000 years? Friend, you know the Bible verse that says 1,000 years are as one day unto God? If we put it in that way, Jesus has been gone two days. 2 days. He was in the grave for 3. In heaven's point of view, he's been gone for 2. When God says that the time is at hand, he means the time is at hand. When he says that he's coming back soon, it means he's coming back soon. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. Friend, you can't put an exact date on the word soon, but soon means soon. And we should treat it as exactly that. He's coming morning or night or noon. Jesus is coming soon. We're in the time of the end. You let God worry about whenever he's coming, and let's worry about telling others about him. So keep the book open. That as we're closing out Revelation, can I invite you tonight, please keep the book open. Don't close up Revelation. Now, I believe this verse refers to the whole Bible, but it especially refers to Revelation. There are promises in Revelation given to this book that no other book has. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth the words of this book. Just because we're done in Revelation on Wednesday nights for now doesn't mean that you need to be done in this book, or that we need to stop learning about and thinking about and living out the words of this book. So don't seal it up. Keep it open. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth and declareth the sayings of this book. Now look in verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What does this verse mean? What is he saying? Is he saying that it's okay just to live how you want? It's okay to stay unjust, stay filthy, do whatever you want? Then, friend, that's not at all what God is saying. I've heard many commentators say this, and I think that it very well could be meaning this. I've heard it said, what John is saying, what this angel is saying, is that the prophecies of this book are so sure and are so faithful and so true and so powerful that if you have read this book and you've come to the end of it and you have not yet repented of your sins and you're still filthy, and you're still unjust, and you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb. I think what he's saying is, if this has not convinced you to get right with God, nothing else will. If you are still unjust, living how you want, after reading about what's going to happen, then God says just remain that way, because nothing else is going to help you. I think that there are very well, this could be what he's talking about. He's saying that this book has a faithful declaration. In verse number 6, he already told us that his sayings are faithful and true. And friend, if you have read this book and you've been taught this book and you still have not repented, then you need to realize that God doesn't have to do anything else to try and help you. God's done everything that he can possibly do by giving you his word. And if you say, "Oh, God's word doesn't convince me," then nothing else will. You remember the rich man and Lazarus, with the rich man lift up his eyes in hell and said, "Send Lazarus to put one drop of water on my tongue." And he saw Abraham and he said, "Could you send Lazarus unto my brethren? I have 4 or 5 brothers. And if one rose from the dead, they would believe." And what did Abraham say? They have the law and the prophets. They have the word. If they don't believe that, they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead. Guess what? Today we don't have just the law and the prophets. We have the law and the prophets and the gospels and the epistles and the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have the complete canon of Scripture. And if Abraham said that was good enough when it was only half a Bible, then the entire Bible and the book of Revelation is certainly enough. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. I think that this verse could refer to the faithful declaration of this book, but I think it could also refer to the fixed destination of eternity. You say, what does that mean? The faithful declaration of this book. If you don't repent of your sins after reading this, nothing else will help you. But it can also, I think, refer to the fixed destination of eternity. You say, what do you mean? In the last verse, he just said that the time is at hand. Eternity is very near us. Eternity is on its way to you. And eternity is closer than it's ever been. Eternity could barge through the door of time at any moment. And you must understand that however eternity finds you is how you're going to stay. Does that make sense? Whatever state that you are found in, When eternity comes is the state that you will remain in forever. If eternity were to come tonight and you were unjust in your sins, then you would remain unjust for all of eternity. If you were to die tonight filthy in your sins, you would remain filthy for the rest of your life, the rest of eternity. If you were to die tonight saved by the grace of God, then guess what? You're saved. You're righteous for eternity. This, I believe, refers to the fixed destination of eternity. I believe that in all of eternity, you'll remain as you are. If you're not saved and you enter into eternity not saved, you'll never have any type of hope of being saved. This goes against a lot of the beliefs in our world today. Men believe in karma and they believe in Hinduism and reincarnation. There is no second chances at this life. One of the widows of our church gave me a letter that was written to her shortly after the passing of her husband. And of course, I would mention her, and I'm not going to mention her name just because of as it relates to this letter, but she gave me this to read. And her husband was a good, godly Christian man, saved, and he passed away. And she received this letter. It was from somebody she didn't know. But he was writing to her and seemingly consoling her about her husband's death. He didn't even know them, but this man was writing and he was saying not to worry about where your husband's at. And turns out this man's was a Jehovah's Witness. And really the letter, he misused scripture and he pretty much said that in the end everybody goes to heaven. In the end, God will take care of your sins in eternity, and everybody's going to get to go to heaven, essentially. And he used different verses way out of context. Friend, I say to that man tonight, in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Friend, the truth of the matter is there is no purgatory in eternity. There is no working your way up the ladder out of hell and into heaven. There is only heaven or hell. Friend, now is the time to repent. Eternity is too late to repent. But friend, there is a positive side to this. For those that are saved, it means we can never fall from heaven. Throughout all of eternity, Satan's not going to break loose out of the lake of fire. Sin's not going to enter into heaven again. There's going to be no fall. There's going to be no corruption. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. I see here a fixed destination of eternity, a faithful declaration of God's word. Then look in verse 12. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." He's reminding us again and again in this chapter, if there's one thing above all other things that God wants us to remember as he closes this book, is the fact that he will come again. There is no doubt about God's promise that he will come again quickly. And he says that his reward is with him. This brings to mind way back when we looked at the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. Every single one of them, God made him a promise of either reward or of judgment in some way. He told them, he promised one church a crown of life. He promised another church a hidden manna and a white stone and a new name. Friend, when he comes again, every reward that he has ever promised will be with him when he comes again. Every promise of God's reward and every promise of God's judgment will ultimately be fulfilled upon the return of Christ. This should be the anchor of Christians, and it should be the fair warning of the wicked that he is coming and his reward is with him to judge every man according as his work shall be. Look in verse 13. Something else. These are just things that God wants us to know about. Verse 10, keep the book open. Verse 11, eternity is fixed. It's too long to be wrong. Verse 12, I'm coming again. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God wants to remind us, Christ wants to remind us at the very end of his blessed book that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. He is the A and he is the Z and he is everything in between. He is the writer and author of this book and he is God eternally. He wants us to remember that he is God eternally. Just because this book is ending in Revelation 22 doesn't mean that God is ending. God will go on. I am Alpha and Omega. God was God in eternity's past, and God will be God in eternity's future. He was before all, and he'll be after all, because he is God. He is the I am that I am. He was God from Genesis to Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. God started all things, and God will end all things. God is the Alpha and Omega. He wants us to remember this. He's the first and the last. You can write this down if you're taking notes. Isaiah 43, verse 10, and Isaiah 44, verse 6, referring to God being the first and the last. He wants us to remember that. I was here before you, and I'll be here after you, he says. Verse 14, he said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Here's where a lot of people would say, hold on, I got you. This is proof that you have to work to get to heaven. Blessed are they that do his commandments. We have to do his commandments to get to heaven. Friend, I want you to be reminded of this, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. John chapter 6 and verse 28. What are the commandments of God? John chapter 6 and verse number 28, they asked him and said, what do we do that we might work the works of God? Look in verse 29. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said, we want to do God's commandments. We want to do God's work. He says, you want to know what God's commandments are? What God's work is? It's all summed up in one thing. Believe on him whom he hath sent. Trust in him and be saved. Repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ. All of the commandments come down to this commandment. We can't keep all the others, but this is the one commandment we can keep. Believe on Christ. Believe on Christ. What he's saying here in Revelation 22 is simply this. Blessed are those that are saved. That's a wonderful thing to put in the end of his book, isn't it? Thank God. You know what that word blessed means in Scripture? It means happy. Happy are you if you're saved. In the Gospels, Jesus taught, he preached a sermon called the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which give mercy. Blessed are they which mourn. Blessed are they. And he gives all these things. But really, it comes down to, it's all wrapped up in one. Blessed are they that are saved. That's really what it comes down to. It's all wrapped up in one thing. He wraps it all up. Happy are they that are saved, that keep his commandments, that believe on Christ. They have a right to the tree of life. Why? Because when you believe on Christ, we become joint heirs with Christ, and we have a right to the tree of life. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And they may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that are saved. Look in verse 15. For without our dogs, you've heard the saying that all dogs go to heaven. It's not true. It says without our dogs. That was supposed to be a joke. All dogs? I'm just kidding. You know the term. For without our dogs, speaking spiritually. Something interesting about this, usually all the time in the Bible when somebody's referred to the terminology of someone being a dog spiritually, it usually refers to hypocrites. You can study that and read it. For without our dogs and sorcerers, something about this word sorcerer comes from a Greek word, pharmakia. It's where we get our word drugs and drug takers. Don't tell me drugs aren't in the Bible, they are. He says, for without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, those that are sexually impure, immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Once again, this really wraps up, I don't care, in any way, shape, and form. Every single one of us are wrapped up somewhere in those sins. But the difference is if you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb or not. Those that are without are those that are not saved. Blessed are they that are saved. And then we see the warning to those that aren't. Verse 15, they'll never have right into that city. Look in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. David came from me, and yet I came from David. I am the Son of God, and yet the Son of Man, and the bright and morning star. I can't tell you the significance that's deeper than I could imagine, but Christ chose specific titles to give to us in the last chapter for himself. And I think I can hold on to this last one, the bright morning star. I think what he's saying is times are going to get dark, but remember, I am the bright and the morning star. And it's going to get dark, but you keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because the Son of Righteousness is going to come back with healing in his wings. He's the bright morning star. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Something very important. He wants. Do you see just simple things, but so great. God wants us to remember. Verse 10, keep the book open. Tell everybody you know. Verse 11, eternity's too long to be wrong. Verse number 12, I'm coming again. Verse 13, I'm Alpha and Omega. Don't forget these things. Verse 14, blessed, happy are they that are saved. Verse 15, a warning to those that aren't. Verse 16, I'm the bright morning star. Verse 17, he wants us to remember that we are always invited to come unto Christ. Wasn't that wonderful? The last invitation of the Bible is come. 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 You know, if I were to ask you, one of you, to come to my house, if I asked you once, would you come? You might think that I was simply just being polite. You know, you should come over sometime. You might dismiss it. But if I were to go to you a second time and say, hey, you got to come to my house, you'd say, maybe he merely does mean business. And if I were to tell you a third time, come over, I want you to come to my house, you would know by the third time that I wasn't being frivolous, I wasn't being dishonest, I wasn't saying it hesitatingly, but I meant it. And I not only meant it, but I am really, really desire that you come. God's told us not once, not twice, three times in the last chapter of the Bible, come unto me. Friend, can I tell you tonight, if you're not saved, God desires for us to come. God is pleading and begging, and he wants you to come even more than you even want to come right now. God wants us to come unto him more than we even want to come unto him. I don't even understand that, but I know it's true. That's how much God desires us to be saved. And I love it. He said, the Spirit and the bride. I just imagine Christ is telling this. There's the Spirit and there's the bride, the church in heaven. John, I imagine him looking up, seeing Christ, seeing God on the throne, seeing the Spirit and the bride in the future in heaven. And they're saying, it is wonderful. You've got to come. I think about the song saying, I always heard the Rochesters sing it, but if you only knew, we're having a time, the sun always shines. If you only knew, would you just come? Boy, it's a beautiful thing to miss out on. Come, they said. Come, let him that heareth say come. What does that mean? If you've heard the words of this book and you've believed, start telling others to come. When Jesus came to earth, his message was come. Whenever Peter and Andrew and Philip came unto him in John chapter 1, they said, he said, what seek ye? And they said they wanted to know more about him, and he said, come and see. Jesus said, come. When Jesus preached, he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary, labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whenever he witnessed to the woman at the well and she knew that he was Messiah, she said, come and see a man who told me all things ever I did. The invitation has always been, come. Come and see. When Mary Magdalene came and she saw Christ had risen, she went to the disciples and she said, come and see. Christ has always, always invited for us to come. And he says in the last chapter of his Bible, of the Bible, he says, come, whosoever will. Here's something important God wants us to know as he closes out the Bible. It's for anybody. Whosoever will, let him come. That's important. In verse 18, he said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If you ever have the thought to add something to God's word, go back and read chapter 6 through 19 and decide if you really want to do that. God means his promises today. Verse 19, if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That is a very, very strong warning not to deduct from the word of God, not to diminish it. And listen, I'll say this, may be a sidetrack, but this is why that we are very cautious about new versions of the word of God. People say, why are you King James only? Why are you this? Why are you that? And there's many reasons why that we believe in the King James only. But I'll tell you, there are many reasons why I stick to this and not to the other books, because you'll find that many, many new English versions diminish the meaning of the word, which in a sense is taking away, and literally they take out words, phrases, sentences, and even whole verses from the word of God. There is a very strong warning against doing so. God made these two promises at the end of his book to seal up not only Revelation, but the entire word of God. He says, I don't want you to add, and I don't want you to take away. The perfect word of God has been completed. There is no new revelation today. Friend, if I were to stand up to you today and say, God has given me a word, and it's not a word from this book, then I have not given you a word from God. I've given you a word from the devil. There is no new revelation. There is nothing new under the sun other than what has been given in the pages of the eternal word of God. He said it's complete. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It is all in all everything that we need. Then look in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The third time in the last chapter, he said in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. In verse 12, he said, behold, I come quickly. In verse 20, he said, surely I come quickly. In other words, ready or not, here I come. I'm coming again. And John says, amen. So be it. So be it, Lord. You've said it, so shall it be. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Friend, our prayer today should be, even so come. And in verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a great character trait of God to leave us with, God's grace. God's grace is what's going to keep us until the things of this book come to pass. It is God's grace that will bring us into heaven. What's that song, Amazing Grace? Grace has brought me safe thus far. Grace will lead me home. Grace is what taught my heart to fear. Grace is what will bring me before the throne of God. He said, this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There are some important things that we need to know in the last chapter of this Bible. Verse 10, keep the book open. Verse 11, eternity is a fixed destination. It's too long to be wrong. Verse 12, I'm coming again. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega. I am God forever. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, those that are saved. Verse 15 is a warning to those who are not, without our dogs. Verse 16, he's the bright morning star. He'll be the bright in the darkest, the bright light in the darkest of nights. Verse 17, he said, I want you to come, come, please come unto me. Whosoever will. Verse 18 and 19, we have the great warnings. Don't add and don't take away from my book. And verse 20, surely I come quickly. Aren't you thankful for what God's left us with? What he's left us with right here is everything that we could possibly need to get us to heaven, to keep us safe upon this earth, to do the will of God. God's given us this book, and we have to answer for what we do with it when he comes again. So let's keep it open tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to being in God's house again. We're not even done, and I'm ready to be back. And I don't know where we'll be next. I have thoroughly enjoyed, I hope you have, preaching, studying through a book. And possibly we can do this again. I'm not sure where we'll be or when we'll do it. But we need to keep the books open. Keep the book open. Christ is coming again. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight?